Hello, you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with the Prescott Daily Courier for Sunday, April 13th, 2025. I'm Flagstaff volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Front page articles include Prescott could name new recreation director this week, new splash trail underway in Prescott's Granite Dells, Ash Fork firefighter gets 5 years in prison for arson, and HUSD wrestles with weighty topics related to parental oversight on gender identity issues books. Now the stories behind the headlines. Prescott could name new recreation director this week by Parker Jones, The Daily Courier. The Prescott Recreation Services Department hosted a meet-and-greet open house opportunity to introduce the four finalists in the running for the department's director position Thursday, April 10th. The open house came ahead of longtime Recreation Services Director Joe Baines' retirement later this month. Baines has worked for the City of Prescott since 2011 and was also present at the open house. The finalists, three men and one woman, introduce themselves to Parks and Recreation staff at the Grace Sparks Activity Center on Thursday. However, the city kept their names and current positions confidential. Recreation Services HR representative Brandon Nunez said they originally had 49 applicants for the position and conducted 10 initial interviews before narrowing down their decision to the final four. Staff conducted one more round of interviews with the finalists on Friday before making their final decision, which will be announced sometime this week. New splash trail underway in Prescott's Granite Dells by Cindy Barks, The Daily Courier. Pools of water dot the route of Boulder Creek, forming a scenic blue chain along the orange-hued granite rock formations that are the backdrop for a new trail being built in Prescott's Granite Dells. Soon, hikers and mountain bikers will have access to the trail, aptly named the Splash Trail because of the many little ponds that form along the Granite Valley after rain or snowstorms. More than 24 volunteers with the Over the Hill Gang Trail Building Group gathered at the trail site, located less than a mile off Prescott's popular Peavine Trail, on Monday, April 7th, to work on the new trail. The group, which has built countless trails around the community, spent several hours Monday morning clearing brush, moving boulders, and building rock ramps for the new trail. Prescott Trails and Natural Parklands Coordinator Chris Hosking says the mile-long Splash Trail should be complete in about a month. The Splash Trail, which will connect with the Captain's Trail that branches off the Peavine, will be just the latest in a series of rugged single-track routes that the city has built in recent years on land that was previously the Storm Ranch and was acquired by the city to be preserved as open space, as well as on former Arizona State Trust land that straddles Glassford Hill and was purchased by local governments about 2 years ago. Hosking, who designs the city trails and oversees their construction, said 38.5 miles of trails have already been constructed in the Dells, and community-wide, the city's trails now total about 140 miles. The Splash Trail will be unique for a number of reasons, including its access to water during times of precipitation, with the numerous little ponds that form along Boulder Creek providing a perfect place for a cool dip or as a spot for dogs to take a splash. It really gets into the wilds of the Dells and Glassford Hill, and it really shows off Boulder Creek, Hosking said of the Splash Trail, noting that Boulder Creek originates on Glassford Hill and runs down the rocky promontory toward the Dells. The Splash Trail is also distinctive because of the spectacular Dells terrain that features a granite valley, pine and juniper trees, and massive slabs of granite. Hosking notes that the Splash Trail will be a part of a network of trails that will form an 8 to 9 mile loop that will connect to the newly built Glassford Hill Trail. That trail also branches off the Peavine Trail, just south of the entry to the Captain's Trail. As we're building the trail up Glassford Hill, we're going to create multiple loops off it, Hosking said. That is what the Splash Trail is. Along with being a connector to other trails in the area, the Splash Trail will offer some of the best views and the best terrain, Hosking said. Ultimately, the city's Glassford Hill Trail will connect with Prescott Valley's Summit Trail, which twists up to the summit on Prescott Valley's side of Glassford Hill. Prescott's Glassford Hill Trails were made possible by a 2023 purchase by local governments of 2,284 acres of Arizona State Trust land that straddles the region's massive dormant volcano. In November 2023, Prescott Valley and Yavapai County came together to buy the land, which has been planned to become a part of a large regional park. Through the years, the Over the Hill Gang has been a significant part of the trail building efforts in the community, regularly meeting up on Mondays and Fridays to work on a variety of trails around the community. Organizers say the group consists of about 100 members, and 25 to 30 people regularly show up for the workdays. Ash Fork firefighter gets 5 years in prison for arson, by Deborah Winters, The Daily Courier. An Ash Fork firefighter has been sentenced to 5 years in prison for arson incidents in the area in 2023, the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office has reported. Carson Nutter was recently sentenced to 5 years in prison by Superior Court Judge Deborah Phelan, the YCSO reported this week. It's a good reminder of the extensive efforts from the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office, YCSO, and Coconino County Sheriff's Office, CCSO, deputies and detectives who worked tirelessly to put an end to the fires that had the Ash Fork community on edge 2 years ago. The YCSO and CCSO in June 2023 were searching for whoever had been setting fires around the Ash Fork area over the period of several months. Deputies and detectives had been following leads and were able to tie Nutter to a small fire. Deputies then connected him to the multiple recent fires, the YCSO reported. YCSO and CCSO deputies were able to link 8 arson events that occurred between Yavapai County and Coconino County, 4 structure fires and 4 wildfires since June 15, 2023. They developed a suspicion that Nutter, then 18, of Ash Fork, was the key suspect in this series of arsons in the area. During early investigative interviews, deputies noted deceptive and misleading information in the statements Nutter provided, furthering suspicion he was the key suspect. Deputies from both YCSO and CCSO interviewed Nutter again. They obtained a full confession from Nutter and his direct involvement with setting at least 7 of the 8 fires, including 3 of 4 in Yavapai County, the YCSO reported. In Yavapai County, there were 2 fires set to the mobile station in Ash Fork and 2 set to the county-owned cemetery in Ash Fork. In Coconino County, 2 abandoned homes burned down in Kaibab Estates West, and there were 2 wildfires on Forest Service Road 124. During his confession, Nutter stated that his motives in setting these fires ranged from boredom, retaliation against a former employer, chasing a thrill, and setting fires to some abandoned homes for being ugly, the YCSO posted. Nutter faced 3 counts of arson of a structure or property, aggravated criminal damage, defacing a cemetery burial property, and 5 counts of false reporting to law enforcement for knowingly providing false suspect information to impede a criminal investigation. It was anticipated that Coconino County Sheriff's Office would be filing further charges. More information was unavailable. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand. From our website, choose Broadcast Info and Audio, then On Demand. HUSD wrestles with weighty topics related to parental oversight on gender, identity issues, and books. By Nancy Hudson, The Daily Courier. The Humboldt Unified School District's legal counsel offered the governing board the green light on creating a regulation that requires parents be informed if children 18 and under express wishes to be identified as a gender other than the one identified on their birth certificate. For the second time in 18 months, the governing board is grappling with how to ensure parents are notified about a matter that board members believe is their prerogative to navigate with their children, rather than faculty and staff adhering to wishes a parent may find objectionable. First time around, with another governing board, the matter was essentially delayed for action by a 3-2 majority. Though this 5-member board will not vote until its meeting scheduled for May 8th on the parent notification regulation, the consensus of the board appeared to be that members want one that requires faculty, staff, and administration to notify parents about any gender identity issues with their child. The regulation is expected to require parent notification if any student expresses a desire to be acknowledged by a name or pronoun of a gender other than the one they are identified on in their official school records, particularly as identified on a birth certificate. Likewise, school employees are to inform parents if a student asks to participate on a team or in an activity of a gender other than their own, or who voices a preference for use of restroom facilities for a gender other than their own. District Superintendent Christine Griffin said the high school already has unisex bathrooms. In deliberating on this matter, board members were given 2 policies to consider: a lengthy one proposed by the Arizona Coalition for Community Schools, and a streamlined version by Griffin of an existing policy through the Arizona School Boards Association. The shorter version applies strictly to gender identity preferences rather than matters already identified for parental notification, including suicide threats or attempts, bullying, or any type of medical issue or physical harm. Board members seem to favor Griffin drafting the shortened version into a regulation on which they can again discuss and vote on at the next meeting. HUSD is committed to fostering trust with parents and guardians by ensuring transparency in matters concerning their child's education, safety, and well-being, the policy now reads. Parents, guardians must be notified if a student requests changes related to gender identity, including name, pronoun, or facility usage. Parents have the right to file complaints regarding school policies or staff actions affecting their child. The district will designate an administrator to investigate complaints and report findings quarterly to the governing board. The superintendent shall oversee the enforcement of this policy. Board Vice President Liana Maison expressed concern about whether the parental notification requirement will remain in place for seniors who may turn 18 before they graduate. At age 18, individuals are considered to be adults, and, therefore, they would not require parental consent, suggested fellow member Sue Unvericht. She also asked Griffin if she could do her magic and prepare the regulation so if a child has a suitable gender-appropriate nickname, Johnny for John, as an example, the teacher is able to do that without reprisal. Board member Mary Ann Dellinger was clear she wants to make certain the schools have procedures to properly verify parental consent, including verification of their identity and signatures. Griffin assured those are already in place. Griffin did note that parental rights can be complex, particularly with parents who each have separate custody arrangements and may not agree on these issues. In those cases, though, she said, the district strives to assure the rights of parents and students are protected. On a similar matter of concern related to parental permission, the board has heard from members of the public in recent months about concerns over children having access to sexually explicit or otherwise inappropriate books through the district's contract with the Yavapai Library Network, YLN. On multiple occasions, Maison has expressed concerns about the safeguards for parents when it comes to the reading material of their children. She said she recognizes that district leaders, including Griffin, value the YLN for its ability to provide books and other resources to schools across the county that they could otherwise not afford. Yet she wants to find ways YLN leadership can make certain parents stay informed about the books their children are seeking out, as well as those they may be checking out through their library cards. Griffin admits this is a tricky topic, given the desire to raise ferocious readers. To encourage children to read, Griffin said, they need access to books that engage them in various genres of literature. The YLN makes that possible at a time when most districts don't have a budget for library books or staffing, she said. She asked the board what they want her to ask YLN leaders prior to the board's vote on a new contract as of July 1st. As it stands now, YLN provides books requested of them by students or classroom teachers. Maison said she doesn't want to create more work for school library aides she knows do the best they can advising children on age-appropriate books. She is also aware, however, that parents fear that the YLN gives them too much access to books and other reading materials that are contrary to their values. Other board members queried whether parents might have a way to either opt in or opt out their child from reserving books through the YLN. No action is expected prior to a vote on the contract. We have to be the gatekeepers for these kids, she said. Talking Money. The Tariffs and the Biggest Game of Chicken Ever by Michael R. Bacci, CFP, AEP, Courier columnist. There is no denying that the last seven stock market trading days have been one of the most volatile in recent memory. The dramatic selling and buying such as we have experienced is a reflection of the incredible uncertainty tariffs are projecting for future inflation, U.S. economic stability, and the global free trade economic ecosystem that has been in place since the late 1990s. What we do know is that stock markets abhor high levels of economic uncertainty. What we also know is that all is uncertain about the final outcome of the tariffs at large because President Trump's proven style of negotiation is to throw everything against the wall to see what sticks and then to dramatically change course if necessary. Simply put, tariffs in place today may be increased, reduced, or eliminated by tomorrow for myriad of justifications. As I detailed in my March 1st, 2025 Talking Money column titled Tariffs, What Are They Good For? You can find it at https://www.decourier.com/news/talking-money-tariffs-what-are-they-good-for/article:underline-219-ALE64-F62A-11EFALC5-6FAHDD9CD1A6.htm. I cited the left-leaning pro-labor Economic Policy Institute, which ran a column in 2022 detailing an analysis of the 2019 tariffs on over 50% of products coming from China. The synopsis of the article was that the 2019 tariffs did not cause inflation in the 2 years following imposition, as China absorbed the tariffs, and that they should not be removed to help protect jobs of American workers. Let's now look at some pros and cons of tariffs in the modern age. First, the pros. Tariffs may increase the number of manufacturing jobs in the U.S. and other countries more friendly to the U.S. 2. Tariffs may reduce the power China has on the global manufacturing market, thereby diversifying manufacturing globally. 3. With the threat of artificial intelligence potentially eliminating many jobs in the future, tariffs may force industry back to the U.S. to help fill a potential jobs void in many industries. 4. The threat of permanent tariffs may help force negotiations with other nations for more favorable terms on trade, as well as other foreign policy factors, such as information sharing and security against adversarial threats, along with mutual agreements of protection against such threats. 5. The threat of permanent tariffs may force discussion on the reduction or elimination of the widely known counterfeiting of intellectual property by China and other nations. 6. Prices of many goods may actually remain stable or come down, as many countries such as India, Mexico, Vietnam, among others, position themselves to negotiate favorable trade deals with the U.S. in place of China. Now the cons. 1. The potential of some near-term price increases is high. 2. The strategy as it stands currently may force the damaging effects of recession to come to the surface soon. 3. The elimination of free trade with unfriendly nations reduces the incentive of keeping the peace. Essentially, free trade is a deterrent to war. 4. The threat of very high inflation due to tariffs is currently undermining the U.S. Treasury market and causing systemic stress and weakening of the stability of the U.S. and global banking systems. 5. Due to labor union influence, the manufacturing of many more products in the U.S. over time may make the cost of goods produced much higher than goods from other nations, even from those nations with high tariffs imposed. The current situation is extremely fluid. Certainty about final outcomes is far from reality. Risks being taken are some of the highest ever. Promised outcomes as they stand today may come at considerable near-term financial cost. My premise continues to be that many of the currently imposed tariffs will be reduced or even eliminated. But the large dislocation being set in motion from the tariffs being assessed against China may prove to be quite destructive over the near and longer term as the world acclimates to a new order of global commerce. Lastly, the current trend is deflation, falling prices, and not inflation. I feel that deflation is the biggest risk we face, as this can be a prominent sign that a recession is currently underway or very near. Track price direction here. https://truflation.com/. Trump wants Congress to end changing of clocks, keep country on daylight savings time. By Michelle L. Price, Associated Press, Washington. President Donald Trump on Friday urged Congress to push hard for more daylight at the end of a day in his latest dig at the semi-annual changing of clocks. Trump, in a post on his Truth social media network, said it would be very popular and, most importantly, no more changing of the clocks, a big inconvenience, and for our government, a very costly event. The Republican president's position, calling for more daylight, would push the schedule forward, keeping the country on daylight saving time. His post came a day after a Senate panel heard testimony examining whether to set one time all year instead of shifting. There has been growing interest in states to standardize daylight saving time in recent years. But daylight saving time, when clocks are set from spring to fall 1 hour ahead of standardized time, is still recognized in most parts of the country. It was first adopted as a wartime measure in 1942. Trump last year called for the Republican Party to eliminate daylight saving time, saying it was inconvenient and very costly to our nation. But he backed off that call last month with another post on social media calling it a 50-50 issue. The president said some people would like more light later in the day, but some want more light early so they don't have to take their kids to school in the dark. When something's a 50-50 issue, it's hard to get excited about it, he said. The Senate in 2022 unanimously approved a measure that would make daylight saving time permanent across the United States, but it did not advance. European countries vow billions in military support for Ukraine as U.S. envoy meets Putin. By Lorne Cook, Associated Press. Brussels. European countries vowed Friday to send billions of dollars in further funding to help Ukraine keep fighting Russia's invasion as the U.S. envoy pursued peace efforts in a trip to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin amid growing questions about the Kremlin's willingness to stop the more than 3-year war. Russian forces hold the advantage in Ukraine, with the war now in its 4th year. Ukraine has endorsed a U.S. ceasefire proposal, but Russia has effectively blocked it by imposing far-reaching conditions European governments have accused Putin of dragging his feet. Russia has to get moving on the road to ending the war, U.S. President Donald Trump posted on social media. He said the war is terrible and senseless. In Russia, the Kremlin said Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff, was meeting with Putin in St. Petersburg. Witkoff, who has been pressing the Kremlin to accept a truce, initially met with Putin envoy Kirill Dmitriev, footage released by Russian media showed. After chairing a meeting of Ukraine's Western backers in Brussels, British Defense Secretary John Healey said that new pledges of military aid totaled over 21 billion euros, $24 billion, a record boost in military funding for Ukraine, and we are also surging that support to the frontline fight. Healey gave no breakdown of that figure, and Ukraine has in the past complained that some countries repeat old offers at such pledging conferences or fail to deliver real arms and ammunition worth the money they promise. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte said last week that Ukraine's backers have provided around $21 billion so far in the first 3 months of this year. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Kaja Kallas said Friday that more than $26 billion have been committed. Ahead of the contact group meeting at NATO headquarters, Ukrainian Defense Minister Rustem Umerov said a key issue was strengthening his country's air defenses. Standing alongside Healey at the end of it, Umerov described the meeting as productive, effective, and efficient, and said that it produced one of the largest packages of assistance Ukraine has received. "We're thankful to each nation that has provided this support," he said. Britain said that in a joint effort with Norway, just over $580 million would be spent to provide hundreds of thousands of military drones, radar systems, and anti-tank mines, as well as repair and maintenance contracts to keep Ukrainian armored vehicles on the battlefield. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has renewed his appeals for more Patriot systems since 20 people were killed a week ago, including 9 children, when a Russian missile tore through apartment buildings and blasted a playground in his hometown. Zelensky joined Friday's meeting by video link. Russia holds off agreeing to cease fire. The Russian delay in accepting Washington's proposal has frustrated Trump and fueled doubts about whether Putin really wants to stop the fighting while his bigger army has momentum on the battlefield. Russia continues to use bilateral talks with the United States to delay negotiations about the war in Ukraine, suggesting that the Kremlin remains uninterested in serious peace negotiations to end the war, the Institute for the Study of War, a Washington think tank, said in an assessment late Thursday. Washington remains committed to securing a peace deal, even though 4 weeks have passed since it's made its ceasefire proposals, State Department spokeswoman Tammy Bruce said. "It is a dynamic that will not be solved militarily. It is a meat grinder," Bruce said Thursday about the war, adding that nothing else can be discussed until the shooting and the killing stops. Observers expect a new Russian offensive. Ukrainian officials and military analysts believe Russia is preparing to launch a fresh military offensive in coming weeks to ramp up pressure and strengthen the Kremlin's hand in the negotiations. German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius said that his country would provide Ukraine with 4 IRS-T short to medium range systems with missiles, as well as 30 missiles for use on Patriot batteries. The Netherlands plans to supply a Hawkeye air defense system, an airborne early warning aircraft. Estonian Defense Minister Hanno Pevkur said that his country is monitoring the world armaments market and sees opportunities for Ukraine's backers to buy more weapons and ammunition. Pevkur said he believes Putin might try to reach some kind of settlement with Ukraine by May 9th, the day that Russia marks victory during World War II, making it even more vital to strengthen Kyiv's position now. "This is why we need to speed up the deliveries as quickly as we can," he said. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was absent from the forum that the United States created and led for several years, although he spoke via video. At the last contact group meeting in February, Hegseth warned Ukraine's European backers that the U.S. now has priorities elsewhere, in Asia and on America's own borders, and that they would have to take care of their own security and that of Ukraine in the future. That's all the time we have for the Prescott Daily Courier. For Sun Sounds of Arizona, I'm volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Thanks for listening.